Mary Alice, how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thanks.
Thanks so much for being with us this morning. What exactly does the school enforcement officer do for the Michigan Department of Education?
It's an interesting question. My actual title is the State School Reform Redesign Officer. It's a new position that was created by legislation almost a year ago. And the basic idea is this. There are schools that are identified as persistently low achieving. They need to submit a redesign plan that tells us, all of us in the state of Michigan, how they are going to work to improve student achievement. The redesign plans are sent to my office, and they go through a review and approval process. And then schools begin to implement those plans next year. So my office oversees that process.
Two schools in the mid-Michigan area were on that redesign plans for 45 of the lowest achieving schools. They were approved, and those two schools are Lansing Eastern High School and Waverly Middle School. The story about Eastern was quite interesting because they missed it by percentage points, but yet they missed it nonetheless.
That's true. The two schools that you mentioned, Eastern's plan was conditionally approved, and Waverly's plan was fully approved.
What does conditionally approved mean?
It means that the state legislation also mentions that if a change in contract is required to fully implement the redesign, that the schools have to send in what's called an addendum to the collective bargaining agreement. And the data that Eastern sent in indicated that they weren't quite finished with their negotiations.
What do you look for in these plans that will help, hopefully, these schools get back on track?
Actually, the four models that a school can use are described very thoroughly in federal legislation that gave us some grant money, so schools can apply for grants to help them do this. But the things that we look for are requirements. So, for example, they need to give the building greater autonomy to function so that they can schedule things independently. Let's use professional development as an example. When you want your teachers to improve their skills in teaching reading or in teaching math, they can take professional development. Sometimes a school district will have really specific things that they want everybody in the district to do, and what we're asking them to do is give that building the flexibility to focus on the areas they need to work on.
Mary Alice, who's at the forefront to make sure that a school succeeds and doesn't have to send paperwork through your desk? Is it the principal? Is it the superintendent? Whose job is it to make sure?
I think the ultimate authority in a state like Michigan, the ultimate authority rests with the school board that approves so many of the things that happen in a local school district. And then you have to look at the whole chain. It's not, education doesn't fail or succeed in just one area. So what you're looking for is a board that's attentive and responsible. You're looking for school administrators who hire excellent educators in each building. You're looking for excellent educators who look for ways to reach every single student. You're looking for parents to send their kids to school ready to learn, and you're looking for a community to provide the support that's needed and the care that's needed, because we all know how important education is.
I guess I was still, I didn't understand whose job it is to make sure that business is handled, that the teachers are teaching, and that the students are learning. Is it the principal in the building?
The building principal has the job of essentially the authority for that building. That's the person who's looking to see that teachers are teaching the curriculum, to see that the building is safe and orderly and a good learning environment. So that person is essentially in charge of the building, but it's also administrators and teachers who hold joint authority for what happens.
We're talking with Mary Alice Scalloway from the Michigan Department of Education. We're talking about schools that have had challenges in meeting requirements for graduation of students, for the students to learn. This could affect the funding for those schools. Mary Allison, looking at the list of schools, I've got it right here in front of me. It looks like most schools maybe have one or two that are involved in this, but the school district with the biggest challenge is the Detroit Public Schools, and I see that most of those schools were approved. I just want to get your thoughts. It seems like they've had challenges for so many years. What do they need to do to get on track?
They have had a lot of challenges, but I think the other thing we all have to remember when you look at Detroit is the size of the district. They currently have about 80,000 students, so down considerably from where they were, but the next largest school district has 50,000. So it's a huge district. They have had a lot of challenges, one of which is that the student population is dropping in the district, so they get less and less and less money to continue doing the work. What they need is pretty much what they've done. They looked around at their schools, they studied the data, and they said what's going to work in each of these schools and put together plans that were specific for the school.
How do you handle a challenge, though? You talk about the leadership ultimately falls upon a school board. That school board has, in the opinion of many, been dysfunctional. The school district itself has had challenges with wasteful spending. I know that Robert Bob has tried to get that in order, but when it comes to academics and following through on teaching those children, it seems like they failed.
I think the academics have been a huge challenge for Detroit. And having, I think, in a district like Detroit where there's a high level of poverty, where there's a lot of community dysfunction and dysfunction at several different levels, it's been challenging to focus and say, okay, what do these kids in this building need? And to make those buildings safe and productive places for the kids to learn. What tends to happen is you go for a grant or you go for two or three grants, and then you have lots of different things going on in the building, and no one's focusing all of that energy on making sure the basics are met, that kids can read, that they can do math, that they can think creatively and problem solve.
So Waverly Community Schools, and we're speaking mainly of Waverly Middle School, their plan has been approved, and if the union approves the Lansing Eastern plan, then that will get your approval. So once these plans are in place, how long do they have to make these plans succeed?
Well, we don't put a set time limit on it, but we will be looking. So what is the responsibility, again, of my office is to monitor progress on these plans, and they'll begin implementing, Waverly could begin implementing immediately, but both Waverly and Eastern must implement starting next school year. So we'll be looking for quarterly reports from them to measure their progress, and visiting as many schools as possible to see what's actually going on in the building toward actually implementing the plan.
And finally, before we let you go, we've been talking about the redesign plan approval status for the 92 persistently lowest achieving schools for 2010-2011. Over the years that you've had to deal with this, is the number increasing, decreasing, staying the same?
This is a relatively new measure of progress. So we reported it for the first time in August. And if you just use the lowest 5% as a number, the number would stay the same. But what we're looking at is to see several different measures together. I expect the number of persistently lowest achieving schools to remain about the same at about 100 schools in Michigan.
But to put this into perspective, we've got a lot more schools who are succeeding, correct?
We have a lot more schools that are succeeding, and we have some that are in the middle ground that are struggling a little bit but have managed to begin moving in the right direction, and that's our hope for these 92 schools as well.
Well, Mary Ellis, you have a job I couldn't do. You have such a huge challenge, and these school districts do too, with the resources just shrinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a challenge, and I hope that all of the communities out there will be attentive to the needs of their school districts and say, and be actively involved in any way they can.
Well, we appreciate your time so much. We learned a lot. Mary Alice Scalloway with the Michigan Department of Education. Thanks so much.
Thank you.